Hello?
Well, hi, this is Dave, and welcome. I hope you've each had a terrific holiday weekend. I apologize for this being on a holiday day, but this is the only time it really fit with the CTA schedule. So this will be recorded, and I know there are a number of people who are not attending because of the holiday. So happy holiday weekend to all of those of you in the United States, and we'll carry on as usual for those of you outside the U.S. So we're going to talk today about the business of writing and then review some things about what we've talked about before. But first, I'd like to hear from you. Thoughts or questions, any clarifications or reflections that you've had, or just questions that have come up that would be helpful for us to talk about before we move into the material today.
Dave, this is Kip.
Kip, hey, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks. Just a question about the probability of getting a book published. It's been my understanding for a couple of years that publishers are not wanting to publish new writers, but only want to engage people who have already had either some notoriety or had some books published. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, and that's really the much of the topic about what we're going to talk about, because to answer your question, there is 100% probability of you publishing your book. When you are dedicated, have a goal, stick to it, write your book, there's 100% possibility of getting published. Now, we're going to talk about 7 or 8 different ways to do that and what best fits your needs, your book, and the purpose you have in writing it, because all of those make a difference in terms of how you want to do it. I believe you're assuming traditional publishing when you ask that question, and
yeah,
that route is first to find an agent, and then the agent finds a publisher, and I'll talk about that. And each of the different routes I have done myself, with the exception of one, And I'll tell you about that. So we're going to be exploring that to look at what best fits for you, what you want to do, your book, and the purpose you have in writing it, and what you want it to do for you. That makes sense, Kip?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great question, and that question organizes a central part of what I'm talking about in terms of the business of writing, because you know, you can have the greatest looking rose in the middle of the desert and nobody sees it. So the business of writing is really important, because this is where you move from all the experience of the learning and the whole process of writing to what do you do now? And what benefit will you get after the benefit of writing from the book itself and from everything that follows with the book in terms of your business and all the aspects that you want to happen because of the book. So those are all good to have in mind from the beginning as well. So we will definitely discuss that. Other thoughts or questions or things that you'd like to talk about? Well, if not, I'll move into our material, and we'll have a little bit more time at the end. So anything that you think about, jot down, and or needs clarification, we'll jot down. And we'll talk about after you've jot down. Okay, we're talking, as I mentioned, about the business of writing. Here's a preface for that. Someone once asked Ira Gershwin, the great American songwriter, which comes first, the words or the music? His quick answer, the contract. So, to set the stage here, here's a brief recap as we discuss selling your story. We've been talking about telling your story. We're going to talk about selling it now. Writing is like selling. It must solve a problem or meet a need. Do your groundwork. Foster connections and affiliations. Do research. Develop marketing strategy. Gather information from critique groups, classes, conferences, networks, writing groups. For nonfiction books, keep this in mind. Publishers buy a book proposal and the first chapter. So for a nonfiction book, if you want to go the traditional publishing route, do your book proposal and the first chapter. And remember the importance of those two references that you see in the annotated outline on writing a book proposal. How to Write a Book Proposal by Michael Larson and Write the Perfect Book Proposal by Herman and Herman. Those are both excellent books. I think they're both useful. They have a usefulness in that you'll find something in the illustrations as well as the descriptions that will, as a composite, fit your style. And a book that I think you also see referenced that I think is really useful is The Art of Writing by William Zinsser. That's kind of the Bible of writing. So there are three secrets of writing success. Choose what you want. Believe it will be yours. And take positive action toward that goal every day. And I want to remind you from Seminar 2 to review the 7 habits of successful writing. So, as a coach, a consultant, a business person, you already know how to do the thing that writers find most difficult, to think about the sale. The essence of publishing is a business with a bottom line, with risk, with a marketplace, with a business goal. You create a market, you create and market a product, your knowledge. Now, a writer may mistakenly put all energy into crafting a message rather than also thinking like a business person. Both are necessary. So let's revisit now 3 questions. 1, how do you write a book? The same way you began seeing yellow Jeeps after visualizing one. Once you begin to think about writing a book, you see things in a different way. You've coded your radar for possibilities that relate to your subject. You hear vignettes. Ideas crystallize. You develop awareness of what you say and how you say it. It makes you a better listener. It makes you a better speaker. And remember, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences or a page. And remember that once you've coded your radar for a book, you will write every day. It may not be that formal sit-down time which you need to schedule, but it'll also be things that you read, things that you come across, stories that you hear. You're in the process of thinking like a writer. 2nd question, why do you want to write? And this is a review. One of these or more of these, to sell the book, to develop a second career, to further your existing career, to learn something, for the joy of writing, to make a difference. Hopefully all of those as a creative synthesis. And 3, for whom do you write? Remember, your first authentic answer is for yourself. Now, we're going to expand that to look at the business of writing. You have to respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. William Zinsser's 4 laws of good writing that also happen to be the 4 laws of good speaking. Clarity, brevity, simplicity, humanity. So let's look at Kip's question. Here are some options for getting your book published. And I want to talk about the most relevant options that you will have or can create. 1, is self-publish. You can form your own publishing company. I did that for Roadmap for a New Wellness Story. I want to illustrate the steps from my experience, and I'll share with you what I did and advantages and disadvantages for each. An advantage, each book can cost between $2 to $3 to print, depending on the quantity. If you publish a book that companies or large groups can use, you can sell multiples of several thousand. Since you control the printing, if you sell to a corporation that wants 10,000 books for its people, you can easily include a letter from the CEO as the first page of the book, because you have the right to add that before it's printed. So here are the considerations and steps to considering your book to self-publish. Now again, these price figures that I'm going to include are estimates based on a 250-word typewritten double-spaced page. First, editing. After completing the manuscript, you'll need to get it edited by a professional editor. That can be $300 to $600, basically. Now, for any of these, email me when you get to this step, if you choose this option, and I'll be happy to give you a personal introduction to the head of an editing consortium I use. He will match your work to an editor somewhere in North America. He has a virtual firm that matches your style, what your goal is, and the kind of writing you have for the most reasonable fee around. And they can match an editor who, if you want to go traditional publishing, can help you move into working with, say, an agent. Second, formatting. You'll need to get your manuscript, after editing, formatted for a book. In other words, to make it look like a book rather than a typewritten page. And this is about $400 to $700. Next, indexing. This is your next step. And remember, you got to have this this part in sequence at least, because you got to have it edited and then the edited manuscript formatted and then indexed, because you'll have pages to reference in the index. Next, graphic design. Now, you can do this parallel with the first three steps. You can get a graphics person to do the book cover, spine, and back, and ditto for a referral here. That's somewhere around $250 to $350. I've paid up to $1,200 to $1,500, but I have a way better way to do that now, and I'll be happy to share that with any of you. Next, you have to do an ISBN number and barcode. Reasonable services are available online for about $100. Printing. Do you send all of this to a book printer? And the other thing to consider, and you're hearing how this can be a pretty big undertaking, and this is certainly not for everybody. This was not one of my first few choices. And the last is warehousing and distribution. What I found useful was to arrange warehousing of a book to handle orders to sell single copies, because I don't particularly like to go to my garage, and I sure don't want to go to my garage and get a book and wrap it up when somebody orders. So I used a book printer connected with a warehouse distribution who also does single sales online, cube from my website. So that may be the hardest and one of the least desirable, but it's an option. I want to present it to you. Second, subsidy publishing. With a subsidy publisher, you pay part of the publishing cost. The benefit is that you have a publishing house that does all of the above work, but you have to often buy, like, you know, 2,000 copies, 3,000 copies, but they do all the process except for the writing. Unless you negotiate hard, though, you won't have any of the choices, including the cover. And I'll come back to this. A print-on-demand is a third option. This is, I think it's a way better option than the subsidy publishing, so I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that. Packages at print-on-demand publishers, such as, and the top three, I think, are really, these are the ones that I would consider. Ex Libris, X-L-I-B-R-I-S, I Universe, a little I, and then U-N-I-V-E-R-S-E, or Author House. And a total package, you send them a manuscript, a total package is about $500 to $1,000, depending on the package. And they submit it to online sellers, distribution places, and all they need is the edited manuscript. You do the manuscript, you have it edited, you send it to them. They do all the subsequent steps of publishing, along with placing your book with the book distributor, listing it. Then you get copies at an author's discount, usually about 40% off the cover price. But they set the cover price. I just helped a buddy who had definitely wanted to do it this way go through this process. So they usually set the cover price fairly high, like about $25 or $30 for a paperback. So that means if it's at $25, say you purchase it at $15. If you sell it for $25, you make $10. So you're not going to make big money like this. The benefit is it gets your book out there. You have your book within a few months. You also get to actively participate in the cover choice. I did one of my books like this. The book that I've already mentioned about parenting. I didn't want anybody to mess with a comma. I wanted to have it because it was what I wanted to do and have my kids see it someday. Fortunately, it got picked up by a couple of people who did syndicated columns on it, and it did very well. But I did it with Ex Libris. It's still available as a print-on-demand, still at my author's discount. And it's useful if you want to have books fairly quickly to really enhance your business presence. And it's often something that, you know, the people I've known who have done this have a book printed. It's a great production. They do a great job, something you'll be proud of. And you can send it to clients, potential clients, groups. Use it as part of a weekend retreat or a workshop, and it works great for that. And having a book is part of the benefit that you bring to a workshop, a presentation, or any kind of corporate event. Another is, number four, is a fulfillment house. Now, a fulfillment house will take an order for your book, print it, prepare it for shipping, mail it to the purchaser. They will have a stock printed of however many you designate so it can be shipped in a timely way. They work with an edited manuscript and cover art from a disc. Now, for this option, you've completed the manuscript, edited it, formatted it for the particular style you want, have the front and back cover and spine if you do it in a hard copy, formatted for the particular style you want and done by a graphics firm. Now, I find this a very useful option for training materials and workbooks for seminars. I use the same fulfillment house for all of my MentorPath training publications and workbooks. The curriculum plus the workbooks for New Life Story Wellness Coaches training, New Money Story Mentor training, even the CDs and the workbook I have of this offering, Telling and Selling Your Story, all done by a fulfillment house. And you'll see at mentorpath.com under the library tab some of the offerings that I have. Whenever anybody enters an order, it cues the fulfillment house to send it to them. And I just get a simple email indicating that somebody purchased it. It's also very useful to have as part of training because it's cued to set up a order from the fulfillment house and a notification to me that someone signed up for the training, and there's an autoresponder that someone gets information automatically from the setup that my IT guy has for them whenever they sign up. So the Fulfillment House can be very useful. So whenever someone purchases the hard copy book and pays online, most of my training books, as you may or may not know, are three-ring binders so that they can be expanded or adjusted, you know, on a regular basis. Somebody purchases the hard copy book and pays online, an automatic order is placed at the Fulfillment House. It's shipped to the person who purchased it. And they will print only the number of copies of books you request to have on hand for fulfillment. I usually have 10 on hand so that somebody doesn't have to wait. Now, all as I mentioned, all these examples are three-ring binders with an index tab for each chapter that I call a module. And a tip here is that I'd suggest consider numbering each module separately so you can update and add pages without having to redo the entire document. For example, Module 1, page 1, is 1.1. Module 5, page 3, is 5.3. You can see cover examples of some of the products at my library page at MentorPath. 5. A traditional publishing house via an agent. For nonfiction books, this is where you submit a proposal, a book proposal, and a first chapter to an agent. Royalties usually range from 10 to 15% in increasing increments according to the number of copies sold. And you can get up into maybe 20 in the low 20s, depending on negotiation. An initial advance on royalty is customary, and for beginning authors, it's somewhere around $5,000 to $10,000. You do an advance on royalty for two reasons. It's money for you, so I don't expect any questions there, and it's the publisher's commitment to your book. And I'm going to return to this about more about how to go into this because there are some common themes for what you'll want to do for whichever way you decide to publish. So I just want to present the ways for publishing, then we'll return to look at more about how to do that. Number 6, partnering with a foundation or a company. For this option, the foundation or company may support the writing and the promotion of your book to further their cause. The author usually has a specific tie with the organization and donates a specific portion of the proceeds to the group. And this can be useful for multinational foundations or foundations that are large and want to convey messages to their people for donation, for benefits, in a number of ways. This is the only one of the ones I'm mentioning that I haven't done personally. I've known some people who've done this, and they've done very well with this. 7, an ebook. An ebook can be set up for automatic purchase from your website. My website has ebooks set up with automatic links for downloads when someone pays. And a service like iBuilder.com can house all your books and articles that you want to send out automatically to anyone without having an active hand in the purchase or fulfillment. In other words, you just have it listed. And as soon as anybody purchases, they get a one-time download link. This is also something you may want to consider. I have done e-books. I don't count them when I say I've published 20 books. I don't count the e-books, and I guess I should. But e-books can be set up as bonuses for someone signing up for something. I've done a couple of e-books recently, one with the group of people, some of the people who have done the training with me as New Money Story Mentors and New Life Story Wellness Coaches have contributed their case write-ups using the roadmap system. And there are 32 together in an e-book called Successful Life Story Transformations, another e-book from my mastermind group that wanted to, that the group was, you know, so enthusiastic about what we did, but it was set up for only a year, and they wanted to contribute something, so they initiated the whole legacy project of doing an ebook that would be something that would be passed on to people who would benefit from what they had learned. I will send out both of these ebooks to you as ideas for ebooks, because they're both ones that the group of coaches do these as a free download to people who are clients or potential clients or groups that they are connected with. And both of these are ones that I think you'll find very beneficial. So I will send links to these two so that you can get an idea of what they're about. If you have any questions about an ebook, we can return to this. So, and an additional aspect, for any book you publish, consider having an ebook option that you control, meaning that anybody who's interested in your book outside, if you're in the United States or in North America, the cost of shipping a hard product to another country can often rival the cost of the product. So what I think you'll find beneficial for international purchase would be a digital version of whatever you have. And for each of my products, I have a digital version. And since it doesn't cost you as much, it can be sold at a lower price. You'll see that a book that's only, well, the only place that you can't control this is with traditional publishing with a big house. Like if you go with traditional publishing, like for example, when McGraw-Hill published Secret Language of Money, they do an ebook. It's for sale also with the hard copy on Amazon.com, but I don't have any control of that. I don't have a version that I can sell, which of course makes sense because they did the work of publishing and distribution and all that, so they offer the ebook. Now, let's talk about copyright considerations. For any form of venue of publishing, from article to book, always keep the copyright on any work you produce. Always. Never sign it over to anyone else under any circumstances. It's your intellectual property. Now, the law grants you automatic copyright protection when you create your work. It doesn't have to be completed or even protected formally. You own the copyright on your work as you create it. Registration isn't required, but there are advantages to doing it. Here are the two most prominent advantages to registering it with the Government Copyright Office. Registration establishes a public record of the copyright claim. And before an infringement suit can be filed in court, registration is necessary for works of U.S. origin. Now, let's expand this. Why self-publish? This may be, and I'm going to expand here because this is perhaps a more viable option for doing a first book. Self-publishing has at least five benefits. One, control. With a traditional publishing house, you sign an exclusive agreement that prevents you from having input about most of the decisions that affect your book, including the cover and even the release date. And it often takes 18 months to 2 years from acceptance to publication. If your book doesn't sell quickly with a traditional publishing house and the publisher lets it go out of print, there's often a waiting period before you're allowed to seek another publisher or recapture it to do it yourself, and a time period before you can publish another book. Two, money. A contract with a book publisher does not necessarily give you a guarantee that your book will get onto bookstore shelves or how long it will stay on those shelves if it actually makes it. If you're a new author, as Kip suggested, your publisher will allocate little to no marketing dollars to promote your book. If it does well, It'll be largely by your own hand, and your reward will be a fraction of the book's profits, 10, 12, 15%. 3, waiting and rejection. Realistically, first-time authors have difficulty breaking into a blue-chip publishing house. Many nonfiction book projects are time-sensitive, and you may not want to wait 18 to 24 months for your book to be published. 4, autonomy. Self-published authors usually have confidence and have developed a following by giving talks and seminars. As an expert in your area, you may not need a publisher's approval. You may also happen to like being in the driver's seat of your book project. 5, power of belief. You most probably believe deeply that others will benefit from reading what you have to say, or you wouldn't be listening to this right now, or wanting to get your message into a more permanent form. That is probably an unshakable conviction. I'll also bet that a deep belief motivates what you do as well as what you write, a strong sense of purpose. That's why you need to write a book and sell a book. You may want to consider self-publishing if some of these factors really fit. Additionally, there's no longer a stigma attached to self-publishing. A decade, certainly 2 decades ago, it was a death knell for a serious author to self-publish a first book. They were called vanity presses. Now it's accepted, sometimes necessary. I've even heard major agents, I've heard them directly recommend it to certain authors to test the market. Now, an example here. My first venture into non-traditional publishing, meaning to me at the time, a house other than a professional or a trade publishing house, was, as I mentioned, Making Memories. When I did Making Memories, I did it essentially as therapy for myself. I began writing it 1.5 years before my son, my oldest, left for college. I completed it 1 year after my youngest, my daughter, also left for college. It was my way of saying goodbye to parenting, the most important thing I'd ever done. I needed to bring closure to an entire era of my life without burdening them. I was mourning their childhood as well as the kid I could be again with them. I wanted both my children to know someday what it was like being their parent from my perspective, and I didn't want an editor, as I mentioned, to touch a single comma of it. I wanted it to be exactly what I said, the way I said it and felt it and saw it, and not have to worry about marketing. For the cover, I wanted a picture I took of my own abstract sculpture of a dad holding 2 children. Now, as I also mentioned, it was fortunate. It happened the book was successful because an interview was picked up and syndicated. So for a time, it was 1 on Amazon, but that was not my intent. The point here, no one cares more about your book than you do. Now, let's review here. We're talking about the business of writing. Let's talk about titles that tell and sell. 3 to 5 words capture the essence of the book's promise. Does the title sell? An answer, not a question. A solution, not a problem. Is the title positive and empowering? Is the title a memorable image or metaphor or symbol that captures the essence of the book? Is it a hook, in other words? Is the title a prescription for the cure that the book will provide? Does the title make a promise the book will fulfill? Does the title offer your unique position, your good news? Does the title speak to one of the 5 great marketing motivators? Fear, exclusivity, guilt, greed, or the need for approval? Now, to expand one of those, greed simply has a bad reputation. The actual definition of greed is a rapacious desire for more. That is passion, like the passion to tell and sell your story. Does the title appeal to the needs and ideals, values of potential readers? And finally, does the subtitle clearly spell out the benefits of reading the book? So here's an exercise I would suggest. One, to brainstorm a title. Set aside a time, an appointment with yourself, and brainstorm a title for your book. Write down everything you think of. Don't censor or try to focus only in one direction, but free associate to the title of the book. Brainstorm, stream of consciousness. Allow a free flow of ideas and write everything down. Put down anything and everything that comes to you. Come up with 30 potential titles that you write down. Next, an exercise to brainstorm a subtitle. Do the same with your subtitle. Same free flow, just not at the same time as you're brainstorming your titles. Carve out a separate time for this exercise. Brainstorm 30 possible subtitles. Then, later, come back to your brainstorm titles and subtitles and select your favorites of each. Put those away for 24 hours, and then come back to them another time and look at how they fit together. See what rings true and seems engaging, and select just one or two of each. And one more exercise. You thought you were done. One more exercise. Write bullet points of benefits readers will get by reading your book. And remember from Zenzer, make them clear, brief, simple. Write at least 5 to 6 bullet points. Maybe a bunch more, but parse it down to 5 or 6. Now, here is a publishing roadmap for nonfiction. And this is roughly in the order of occurrence. So I think I've sequenced this in a way that will be truly a roadmap, because you need to start from where you are and look at where you're going to go and have a way to get there, to measure progress along the way, to know where you are, to know what's deter and what's distraction. A map will do all of that. So here's one suggested roadmap. And this is in your outline. 1, come up with your book idea. 2, do your homework. 3, choose what fits your style about each writing session, each segment, each vignette, each cluster, everything. Decide whether to type, dictate, or write out by longhand your material. Even if you write by longhand, you probably will make it much easier to read that out and have a transcription service do it. The one I use is a penny and a quarter a word, rather than trying to type it. And I'll also send you the link to the service I use. 4, research the topic and the competition. 5, develop a title and subtitle, those exercises. 6, find similar books to model and to look at how you're unique. 7, design a working cover page. 8, create a mock-up. 9, this is a variable here, but have a binder to hold your materials. 10, write out a basic structure for your book. Chapter titles, overall concepts, chronology. 11, organize your ideas into chapters. 12, this is a big one. Generate a complete book proposal. Even if you're self-publishing, no matter which of these various ways you decide to publish, do the book proposal. That's the bones of your book. That's the blueprint of your book, your organizer. 13, create your first draft of chapter 1. 14, edit and review your first draft to create a second draft to ensure punctuation, grammar. You may go through many drafts. One of the people I had as one of my guests on the mastermind group, where I have someone who's a notable author or a contributor to the mind and brain sciences or some aspect of contribution is someone who's actually a buddy of mine, Janine Roth, and she was discussing her book on money. And the book is her personal. I mean, she's a multiple New York Times bestseller, and her most recent book is Lost and Found, which also became a bestseller. It's her experience of being a Madoff victim. And she talked to the group about how everything she writes, she goes through at least 30 edits. There was a gasp, a ubiquitous gasp by each person. And 15, read your draft aloud as one of the final editing steps. Now, here's some miscellaneous points. Two crucial elements are execution and marketing. These are totally miscellaneous, but I want to include them here. You don't have to be Lance Armstrong to teach people to ride a bicycle. If you're blocked, skip past it and move to the next thing. You don't get to go to the mall. Skip past it, do the next thing. If you're blocked in writing, get someone else in the room and tell them what you're trying to say that you're blocked on. Consider even having a recording device running because you may not remember. Blocked is a state of mind, remember. Record, or better yet, video yourself pitching your idea. Then get another person to critique your pitch. Communicate the message when you're writing. And communicate the value to the reader when you're selling. Those two make sense? Communicate your message when you're writing. Communicate the value to the reader when you're selling. Now, let's talk about platform. Where to build platform. If you're working on a book project, what do you do first? Write your book, set up a website or a blog, start an e-zine. Does it matter? Well, it does matter. And what you decide depends on your destination. First, for a major book deal, to publish with a big publisher, you would do things somewhat differently from what you do to fill a coaching practice or establish yourself as a professional speaker. Your platform, your presence in the marketplace is how most people know you, as well as why people know you. Your brand is tied to your audience. For major publicity or big book deals, existing platform is crucial. To sell your book as well as build business and expand your audience, growing your platform is essential. That's simply the number of followers you have. For a major book deal, the first questions an agent asks the author, because that's the first question the publisher asks the agent, what's your platform? In other words, who knows you? How many people do you know who will buy your book? How many followers do you have? So, your considerations for platform, your email list, newsletter, blog, affiliate partnerships, writing articles for publication, speaking, workshops, seminars, publication and trade journals, this is all in your outline, presentations to conferences, organizations, affiliate contacts and partnerships, media exposure, radio, TV, podcasts, teleseminars. Be sure everything you do, from website to speaking engagements, that you have a way to capture email addresses. Then establish an ongoing communication with people who become your audience. And I mentioned this in discussion. I want to reiterate it here. I had a newsletter. I had downloads of two white papers. I had a nice following. When my last publisher, McGraw-Hill, nudged me to do a blog, when I started the blog, finally, at their behest, I found out that it was major fun to do, and it was really a terrific way to learn more because I did it, again, on the basis of what I wanted to learn. I had as many people as followers on the blog in the first 4 months that I did in the first 4.5 years of the newsletter, and there are ways to get blogs on search engines and that sort of thing. A second place or thing about building platforms, to enhance a coaching practice. Brand and niche are important. Your brand is your promise. What's your promise? What's the good news of your book, the aha? Make sure you have a way to connect with potential clients and readers from your website and blog. Articles, including, you know, whatever you do, make it very professional. 3, to become a professional speaker. The easiest way to is to have a book. I mentioned that your book will enhance various kinds of things you do, and especially as a speaker. 4, for major media. This is a way to stand out in your area of expertise. Well-crafted niche and branded website are priorities here. Now, common to all of these is an authentic brand and niche. Set up your blog, your website, as you're designing maybe a media kit for it as well. Design both blog and newsletter and set them to feed off of each other. Create online promotions. One thing you might want to think about, too, is white papers. White papers are a persuasive document that describes problems and how to solve them. It's sort of a cross between a magazine article and a brochure. And again, each of these things can be multipurposed. Like, for example, when I did the blog, it began with the psychology and neuroscience of money. It's evolved to something a little bit more expanded now, but for the first 3 or 4 years that I did the blog, that constituted almost half of the sequel to The Secret Language of Money, which is now with an agent. So it can all flow in the same direction. Things you can do to promote your book. Buy a domain name as soon as you have a title for your book. Start your own blog. You can do this at WordPress or blogger.com, even if you don't have a website. Write a few articles on your topic and submit them. Get business cards. Put together a marketing plan. Do an internet search for writers' conferences or book festivals in your area. Create an email signature to promote your book and message for each email you send. You may want to think about writing a press release and submitting it to online press release sites or for your local business journal or local publication. Write a brief bio that you'll use to pitch yourself to the media. Start your own newsletter. Leave your business card or book flyer or postcard wherever you go. Pitch yourself to local TV, radio, local print. Check your local paper to see if the topic of your book is in the news. If it is, write a letter to the editor. Check with local companies to see if they're interested in bulk buys of your book. Add reviews or testimonials to your website. What someone else has to say is 1,000 times more effective for promotion than what you say. Donate a copy of your book to a charity, silent auction. If you attend, sign it for the winner. And number 19, last but not least, get to work on your next book. Sometimes the best way to sell your first book is by promoting your second. Authors who get published still need to do a lot of marketing. Books with a special interest niche audience, which tend to have flat, steady sales, are ideal for print on demand. If you're happy with steady, small sales, if you want to get started and then generate interest from a traditional publisher, or if you want to keep an older book in print, then the print-on-demand is a good option. And one of those 3 publishers that I mentioned are great. Now, on the other hand, if you want to make a business of your book, if you want to make a lot of money at the book itself, self-publishing may be the right choice because you get all the revenue. You have to work very hard for it, and the upfront fee is bigger. Remember the figures I mentioned. But at the end of the day, you can make a lot more money. If you have a story to tell and the capacity to execute it very well, your story deserves to find a market. Making a success of any self-published book takes time and money. A website and marketing to other websites may have something to do that has something to do with the subject, getting booked on radio shows, book signings. They're all in your future. You become your own promoter and distributor. Unless you work hard for your book, you're going to be Amazon.com number 2,400,023. Marketing figured prominently in the success of L. Trevor Grant's book on New York City's foster care system. After being rejected by publishers all over town, Dr. Grant, a former social worker with child welfare agencies, decided to publish the book himself. He managed to get the book seen by nearly everyone who had something to do with child welfare or was studying it in college. Someone saw the book and called Geraldo Rivera. Got to get this guy on your show. His life has never been the same since. The book is used as a teaching tool in schools of social work. Jack Canfield said, I heard Jack say this himself. He sent a copy of his new book to jurors on the O.J. Simpson trial at the time. Whenever the TV cameras panned the jurors during recess, most of them were reading his book. Sales skyrocketed. Most people who buy books will know something about the subject of the book. A much smaller percent will know the author, and nobody knows anything about the publisher. Readers don't care who publishes a book. It's the readers we all write for. To publicize your book, you have to capture people's attention in a world filled with media noise. Remember your silver bullet, the clear, sharply focused description of your book that explains what it's all about, why it's special, and the precise benefits it will provide to readers. And let's talk just for a moment now about the business of writing itself. Here's my preface so I can say what I want to say to you. In all matters regarding your tax return, be certain to consult a qualified professional. Okay, now let's talk. Many of you know about these deductions already. You can deduct expenses related to the business of your writing, including supplies, equipment, books, subscriptions, equipment, all expenses related to research. Marketing expenses include advertising, promotion, business-related meals, and travel. Why do you think you read so many novels that are set in Rome, Paris, or Monte Carlo instead of downtown Newark? The key to each of these deductions, keep adequate records. Document the business purpose. If you don't already have one for a related business like coaching, consider opening a separate bank account and take out a separate credit card for business expenses. A separate business name would help. For some time now, I have rarely committed a non-deductible act. Now, a final thought, a secret, a Zen story for authors, and a final challenge. Those four things. The thought. Once you start writing, you will never look at a piece of writing the same way again. Once you begin capturing your thoughts and your musings, you'll feel a magnetic pull to continue. When you find your personal style for capturing thoughts, images, and feelings, whether that's writing on a yellow pad, seeing your words materialize on a computer screen, or holding a dictation device to speak to an imagined audience, it will have its own appeal. Think of experiences that have been pivotal for you in opening new awareness. After my first cross-country bicycle trip with a buddy, I've never since looked at inclines and terrains in the same way without immense appreciation. As a photographer, I see light and framing in a different way. After my first watercolor class, I've never seen an aspen tree when I go skiing every March since without thinking of that particular wrist motion to get that downward branch etching on the trunk, something God knew in her infinite wisdom since the beginning of time. Your book will take on a life of its own. Now, I hope our time together to consider some notions about the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing has been helpful. I hope it's been as perturbating as much as it's been affirming. And I hope, in a small way, to inform and guide you to make a difference for yourself and for others with your present and future book. The secret. And the secret is very simple. One book is like one potato chip. That's the secret. Here's a Zen story for authors. An oak tree is brought into creation by two simultaneous forces. One is the acorn from which it begins, the seed holding the promise and potential for the full mature tree. The other force is the future tree itself, which desires so powerfully to exist that it pulls its seed, the acorn, into being. It draws forth from the germ and guides the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, it is the oak tree that creates the acorn from which it is born. Your book desires creation. You are already in a unique relationship with it. Listen carefully. Nurture it. Prune it. Let it grow and be born. And a final challenge. What if right now is a turning point for you? The time your grandchildren will tell stories about years from now. The time you awakened your deep passion and acted on it. The time you did what you were always meant to do. Or, this moment of truth may be a brief awakening, silenced by the sensible obstacles you're familiar with constructing. In that case, your grandchildren will have to be content telling stories of your favorite sports team or what great cookies you used to make. It will all depend on how brave you'll be. Okay, we have just a few minutes. I thought we'd have more. Thoughts, questions, things you'd like to discuss?
Dave, hi, this is Vicki.
Welcome. Hey, how are you?
Good. First of all, I'd like to say I've really enjoyed the class and I've gotten a lot out of it. And you've given me a lot of good focus and inspiration of how to go about this because I've started three different times and I needed this. So
thank you.
I'm
your payment for saying that is in the mail. Go ahead.
Shh, they weren't supposed to know that.
I know. Hey,
you
I need all the help I get. Okay, go ahead.
My only question, and I have a couple, but I think at the time I'll probably email you, but one of the biggest things was getting the agent, which I know that you said you would have a source for that. If you were going to a publishing house, would you need an agent to get you
Absolutely.
Into that publishing house? Right?
Yes. Every publishing house worth its salt does not take direct submissions. They get the agent to do the work because
right.
that's what an agent is paid for.
Right.
And they will do all the screening. There is a good book that will help you match agents if you want to go that route called Literary Agents of North America. And it has a description, contact information, what they like, how to submit to them, what they specialize in, that sort of thing.
Okay. And you also said you have somebody that you deal with that we could.
The editorial consortium that I use, if someone wants to move toward using an editor, they'll match the editing person with
that. Okay.
They'll match you to that editing person who can usher you in, so it's something that you'd say up front.
Gotcha. And if you were going to self-publish your book, would you still want an agent to help you with promoting and stuff?
No.
Just no.
No.
So if you're going to self-publish,
I would be thinking about all ways of promotion, but I'll know that promotion is up to me. An agent is only to sell your book to a publisher.
Gotcha.
Now,
okay.
You may want to begin to look at other possibilities, affiliate partnerships, marketing platforms. You may want to look at other sorts of things.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why the way that you publish will make a difference from the beginning with all the planning that you do that you're doing alongside the writing.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Great questions. Thank you. Other thoughts or questions or things you'd like to mention or talk about? We are out of time. I just saw this and I want to pass it on to you. This is a quote. This is in closing, a quote from Yuri Hassan. Imagine that you invented a device that can record my memories, my dreams, my ideas, and transmit them to your brain. That would be a game-changing technology, right? But in fact, we already possess this device, and it's called storytelling.
There you go.
Thank you all very much. It's been a privilege. I've enjoyed putting together these ideas, and I thank you for all of your input. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dave.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck, everybody.